This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, where we stay ready so you don't have to get ready. My name is Emeka, and I'll be interviewing a variety of professionals in the real estate industry to help you get 1% closer to your goal of buying your next real estate investment. My goal is this podcast to show the world that regular people like you and me can buy real estate to build wealth. At the end of each podcast, I'll be giving you three actionable steps that you can do today to get started. Today we have Rob.
What's going on? My name is Rob. Full name is Roberto Sembiante. I grew up in New Jersey. I served in the Navy for 6 years out of Virginia Beach, worked on a SEAL team there, started a real estate portfolio and a flipping company, wound up going full circle on that, sold all my rentals, just closed to my last one, and then closed down the flipping business to now travel around the world full time.
Ooh, so you were in the Navy, you said 6 years, right?
I did 6 years, yes.
Six years. So what got real estate in your head? Like, you went from, you know, protecting the world to buying houses.
Well, two things. One, I was dating a girl at the time who was an engineer, and she was making a decent amount of money, and I wanted to be the breadwinner. So Navy income enlisted, you don't get that. So I wound up reading a couple books and trying to figure out how to get that done. Landed on real estate, seemed pretty simple. Buy a place, rent it out, you make money. It wasn't as simple as one would think, but doubled down on that and worked out decently well.
Well, you said it seemed pretty simple. So walk us through the process from you read the books to your first property.
I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad in November. I learned nothing about housing at all. I knew nothing. And then I bought my first rental about 30 days later. It was 102,500, three bedroom, one and a half bath next to a college, and just kicked off from there. I was 21 at the time, so it just made sense doing college rentals because I was around that age and I could work the demographic decently well. So that's what I did.
How much cash flow are you making?
On that one, the mortgage was $565, and then I rented it out for $550 a room. So it did decently well, like before, or I guess after everything, because it did have a decent amount of maintenance throughout. I probably cleared about $400 a month the whole span of the property before the sale.
In college, I wish I would have did it in college. That's amazing for you. Did that like open up your eyes to like what the possibilities were to go bigger? And to did you see that like this was a way to travel the world like you are now?
Honestly, I didn't really have too many expectations for it. I just knew it's like, hey, it's a good way to increase your net worth and cash flow. And if you just do that for 20, 30 years, you're going to be set and good to go. And I was just looking to open up more streams of income. So I didn't really have any idea of freedom or this, that, and the other. I was going to just stay in the military, hang out, get a pension, have a real estate portfolio. Does that answer your question?
I think it does. And are you still, you know, heavily focused, not heavily focused, but how active are you in real estate now?
I'm completely out. I just sold my last rental. I don't do any more flips anymore in Florida. I've been on the road for about a year, so kind of just selling off my real estate throughout that. So I'm completely out. If you asked me interest rates right now, I'm probably not going to be able to give you an accurate answer. But yeah, definitely just enjoying life at the moment.
Okay, no, that's amazing. And would you say real estate is the main reason to do that? Why you're able to do that now?
Yeah. So, I mean, definitely on Navy income, there's no way that you're just going to be able to save up enough to be able to live on the road. With the real estate, I was able to gain enough equity and enough capital to be able to have my residual investment income coming in, be able to support a pretty frugal lifestyle. So I'm very, very blessed to be able to A, have invested in a time where the market did very, very well, and B, taking that risk to be able to buy the properties that I did.
Oh, cool. And what do you do now? Like, what is your day-to-day? We're just talking a little bit about it.
I call myself, I'm like a adventurer, I don't know, wanderer. I trail run full-time, looking to see if I can get a couple sponsorships throughout the next year or so as I grow my social media platform and reach, as well as winning a couple races. Hopefully that'll be able to attract sponsors to where I'm at right now. Other than that, I read a lot, I write a lot, just doing the things that I prefer doing in life, and it's working out pretty well so far.
Oh, so you don't like having a boss?
Funnily enough, other than the Navy, and I guess I was a lifeguard at one point, yeah, I've never had a boss, ever. Not really a big boss guy.
What's your life look like in the next 5 to 10 years? What is your goal? Because the money that you have now, I'm assuming, you know, if you're selling it off, unless you have some income coming in, it's going to run out eventually. That's what some people are thinking. So what's the long-term goal for you?
Goal at the moment, we are opening up a race directing company. So I'm going to be hosting more ultra races throughout the country, especially on the East Coast, Virginia, and then on the West Coast, more Vegas area, because it's just not as saturated as I would like it to be. That will be my main cash flow driver. All my friends who do race directing have shown me the numbers, and I'm starting to like it a little bit more. That also is just a passion of mine. I love racing ultras and putting things together and watching people maximize their potential. So that's just a passion project for me. That I'm also writing a book. That's just more for myself. If it gets published, cool. If it doesn't, my family gets to read it if they want. That's another personal passion project of mine. Other than that, if everything goes to the wayside, the race directing doesn't work, the book doesn't have anything to do, and it's not making any capital, then I could just always go back to real estate. It's always going to be there. The deals will always be there.
No, I love deals will always be there. Real estate has been here for a very long time. But the thing I love most about this is you're just doing what you want to do, doing what you're passionate about. And real estate was able to help you get there. And I tell people, you don't need to absolutely love real estate to invest in it and have it focus on the things you do love. So what is the advice that you would give someone who's listening to you right now and they want to be just like you?
Advice for somebody to be in my position right now. A, you're going to have to take risks. So if you're overanalyzing what you're looking to do, you're never going to do it. So you'll never be on the road traveling the way like I am. And two, understand what you're getting into, because if you're getting into full-time real estate as an operator, as much as you'd like to think that, oh, it's going to be, you know, mail money, it's going to be coming in every month, I'm not going to have to do anything, 99.9% of the time, that's not the case. And you're going to be strapped to your computer or your phone trying to figure out issues when you should be on the road enjoying your life. So keep that in mind before you get in.
I love it. And if you can go back in time and do it all over again, would you change anything?
I won't necessarily change. Maybe I would. Getting in as a younger guy, definitely could have benefited from entering in, let's say, a debt position. So working in banking, being able to go see how loans are being done, who's doing deals, how they are analyzed and assessed by your number one investor, which is the bank. Doing that would get my foot in the door into realm, which is mainly elderly folk. And if you're able to show that you are a player in the space and you know what you're doing, that's the main key of it. So getting yourself in front of those people, that's what I would do first.
Oh, amazing. And then what was your portfolio before you started selling them all?
I had 9 single families. I owned a street in Connecticut, and then I had a few properties in Virginia Beach. I did 5 or 6 flips in Florida. And then now that I kind of just hung out.
No, that's still nine. So how are you, obviously different states, cities, how are you determining where you wanted to invest?
When I started, I just invested what was in my back door. That was really simple for me. I'm going to be there anyway, so that makes it a lot easier on the mental when you're first getting started. The Connecticut portfolio, I was about to move to Connecticut because the Navy was going to give me orders there. So I started buying real estate, and then the Navy canceled those orders, which was very frustrating. So I wasn't able to really be with that portfolio. I took one picture in front of those in that street. That was it. I've never done anything else in person with the properties. So I just did what was in my back door, Florida flipping back door. So
how did managing from afar with the Connecticut properties go for you? Did you just hire a property manager or?
I did. Connecticut, it's an old state. Unfortunately, it was an old town. So I had to build systems for not even for the property management company. There was a small property management company that wanted to expand. And I told them, hey, no one's in this area. If you're able to work it, they had no vendors. They had no ops. They had two employees. It was not the greatest start, but we figured it out. I was able to give them what they needed, and we had a very beneficial relationship together.
That's good. And then did you basically keep them the entire time until you sold them off?
I did, yeah. I got bought those for $315 and they sold for $425 about a year and a half later. That was, yeah, we got lucky on that one right before interest rates kind of skyrocketed.
Oh, cool. So you, oh yeah, COVID, the COVID times, right? When the interest rates just dropped.
Yeah. And everyone's like, oh, free money. Let's go spend an ungodly amount on everything, because why would you want to pay the right price when we could just pay any price?
No, I love that. And then, so nine single family homes, right? Some people think that's a buttload. Some people don't think it's a lot at all. But the point of the matter is, it was able to help you do your dreams now. So from the point you bought the properties, how long did it take until you were able, or you saw the amount of equity and the cash flow that you're receiving to, you're like, hey, I can leave this in the past, sell, and really do what I want to do?
Cash flow wise, I don't believe it was anything to, call home about. You're not going to be able to live off of it, at least the amount that I had coming in, at least the way that I also wanted to live. Equity wise, I had just a real estate owned sheet and tracked my equity every month. And I saw it going up to a point. I was like, all right, like we're sitting pretty. And I was presented with an opportunity. I had no responsibilities. And I had just sold off the majority of my portfolio. And I asked a few of my mentors, like, hey, here's my position. What should I do? And they let me know. It's like, people invest for freedom and to be able to do what they want. And now you're at that point where, yeah, you're not going to be able to live forever off of this money. And you are still very new to the game. But you could do exactly what you want. And that's why people do this. So why would you carry on building if you have what you want at the moment?
I love it. And with that, let's segue to the second part of the show. I ask everyone the same three questions. Number one, what are the two books you recommend the aspiring investor to read?
Two books for inspiring investors. One, I would say Tribe of Millionaires. That is a great book. I don't have the author's name on hand, but that will teach you the weight and magnitude of relationships in this game. And two, I would recommend Who Not How, so that you understand the concept of being able to leverage people's time for your benefit, because you can't do this whole thing alone. You're going to wind up getting nowhere.
What has been the most impactful speech or lesson that's helped you in your career?
The most impactful speech or lesson in my career would have to be, voluntary hardships make involuntary hardships easier. So if you do things that are difficult all the time, it doesn't have to be what I do, like running 100 or 200 mile races. It can be reading for 7 hours straight or doing something that you're scared to do or doing difficult things daily so that when the portfolio starts to crash or something happens with the property or you have a family issue, it's not going to affect you anywhere near the same magnitude because you are used to this high stress and difficult time in life. So that's what's helped me probably the most.
No, I love that. And if you could have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Anyone dead or alive, I would want to have dinner with probably Marcus Aurelius. Having dinner with somebody who A is a staple and pillar in Stoicism as a whole, and then also ruled one of the biggest empires in the most uncertain time for the longest duration. I think that's crazy. So, love to do that.
No, I appreciate it. And how can the audience help you, and how can they reach you too if you have any questions? If they have any questions,
you guys can reach out to me on Instagram, rob.symbionte. Symbionte is spelled S-E-M like Mike, B-I-A. And like November TE. I'm pretty much an open book. I go through my DMs daily. If I don't get to you immediately, understand I'll get to you eventually. I mean, I'm no expert, but I can kind of point you in the right way or point you to the right person, and hopefully I can get some benefits for you guys.
Oh, cool, cool, cool. What are you needing? You need sponsorships? Tell the world right now.
Right now, honestly, I'm kind of just hanging out. I don't really need too much. If you guys want to give me a follow on Instagram, that's great. Trying to grow that platform so that we could use it as a stepping stone for races and the book.
Well, cool. Well, Rob, thank you so much for joining the show. And until next time.
Sounds great. Later, brother.
That was Rob, everybody. At the beginning of the podcast, I told you I'd give you 3 actionable steps that can help you get 1% closer to your goal of giving your next real estate investment. Before then, please like and subscribe if you like this podcast. It'll mean the world to me. It'll help the algorithm. Step 1, make a net worth tracker. This will help you see on a month-to-month basis where you are, what you need, what investments to take, what routes to take, if you want to buy these shoes or not, if you want to go on this trip or not. Having a monthly net worth tracker, you're able to see where your money is going, where is it going to, and you're also able to see what you can cut in order to get to your goal. If you want to make $10,000 a month, figure out how to get there. And your net worth tracker is the way that's going to help you get there. Number 2, separate and categorize the things you spend money on, right? It can be fun, bill, you know, health, right? If you have multiple debit cards, what I would do is put your W-2, have it auto go to those debit cards so you don't even think about it. If you want to spend only $200 on fun and fast food, then have a fun and fast food card. And that's the only thing that you use whenever you're not having it directed towards the fixed expenses or whatever you categorize. And step 3, figure out how long it's going to take you to get to a $100,000 net worth. And if you're already there, 500. If you're already there, 1 million. Up it. Figure how long it's going to take. And that's where you're consciously looking at everything that you're spending on daily. Till next time, stay steady, stay ready. See you.
You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. 3 friends, 1 tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.